I want to start with a preface to Pirkei Avos. And even though we are going to be learning as the base, the Abarbanel, today I'm going to give you my preface. And then, Mirz Hashem, when I come back, we'll start maybe with the Abarbanel's preface to Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos deals predominantly with two subjects. One is the subject of Derech Eretz, loosely translated Menschlichkeit, and much of the Derech Eretz there is Lifni Meshuras Hadin, Milei Dechasidus, things that are beyond the letter of the law, things that you do beyond what's necessary. And in fact, the Gemara says, Man de boy le mehevi chasida, a person who wants to be a chassid should learn three areas. One, he should learn milei de brachos, the laws of brachos, milei de avos, he should learn the things that are contained in Pirkei Avos, and milei de nezikin, he should learn the laws of damages. Those three things, you'll be able to be a chassid. At some point in the future, maybe we'll explain why those three things. But in any case, you see that Pirkei Avos is milei de chassidus. Chassidus means something beyond what you are required to do. So the Derech Eretz of Pirkei Avos is a higher up level, a higher step from the regular Derech Eretz of what people are required to do. The second topic, main topic of Pirkei Avos, is the importance of learning Torah. Torah learning. How important learning Torah is, that is a second major theme of Pirkei Avos. In addition, the very beginning of Pirkei Avos tells us of the Mesorah, of how the Torah was given, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah at Sinai, and who he gave it to, he gave it over to Yeshua, and Yeshua to the Nevi'im, and so on and so on. I want to put all those three things together and to explain to you why these three things, learning Torah and Derech Eretz and the higher level of Derech Eretz that Pirkei Avos represents and the Mesorah, why they all are put together. What's their connection? In order to understand this, I want to start with a Sfarno in the end of Parshas Bereishis, and we've discussed this in the past, but not, I don't think, to the detail that I'm going to discuss it today. The Sfarno says the following, V'noach motzo chein be'enei Hashem. Noach found favor in God's eyes. Chain always connotes something you get for free, not deserved. Chinam, chain. Noach got something free from God that he didn't deserve. What was that? That his family was saved from the Mabul. Noach deserved that he should be saved. He didn't deserve that his family should be saved. But God gave it to him for free. Says the Svarna, why didn't Noach deserve that his family should be saved? Doesn't the tzaddik have merit that saves even others in his merit? So the Svarna says, only tzaddikim who perfect others have others saved in their merit. But tzaddikim who only perfect themselves only can save themselves in their merit and not other people. That's the Svarna. Now, if the Sfarno had stopped there, we would understand it simply that Noach didn't bother to try to perfect other people. Whereas Avram Avinu did, and therefore Avram Avinu saved his whole generation. They didn't die in the flood. Avram kibel schar kulam, he got the reward for all of them because he kept them all alive. And Avram Avinu converted many people to believe in God. HaNefesh HaShirasu B'chara. So there's a significant difference between Avram and Noach. Noach was concerned only about himself, and Avram Avinu was concerned about others. But the Svarno doesn't say that because he knows it's not true. There are those that say that Noah was a tzaddik in pelts. What does that mean, a tzaddik in pelts? What it means is that when it's cold, you can warm yourself in one of two ways. You can put on a pelts, which is a fur coat, or you can build a fire. What's the difference between them? The fur coat only warms yourself, but the fire warms everybody in the room. So you can be concerned about others and build a fire, or you can put on a fur coat. There are those that accuse Noah of being a tzaddik in pelts, but the Svarno knew that wasn't true. Because the Svarno says that Noah spent 120 years building the Teva in order that he could confront the people of his generation and rebuke them. And he did that. So he was concerned about others. For 120 years, while he was building the Teva, people would come and ask, Noah, what are you doing? So I'm building a big boat. They said, but there's no water around here. He said, well, there will be soon if you don't do tshuva. And that way he had a connection to them. They asked the question. He could confront them. It was very difficult to walk around with a sign, the world's coming to an end. Nobody would believe him. They think he's nuts. But this way, he had a confrontation with them. He had a connection. He had an entrance into their world. So Noah spent 120 years rebuking his generation. So what was wrong? He wasn't successful. Why, says the Svarno? Because he rebuked them about social mores, inyan hamedinos, umayseim hamekukolim. He told them how perverted what they were doing was. But he didn't teach them l'adas es Hashem v'laleches bedrachot. He didn't teach them to know God and walk in his ways. Whereas Avraham Avinu taught people to know God and walk in his ways, and therefore he was successful. Because had Noah done that, had Noah taught them to know God and walk in his ways, then they surely would have done tshuva. As it says, a Talmud Chacham, if you see him commit a sin at night, don't have any doubts that by the daytime he already did tshuva. Had he taught them to know God and walk in his ways, they would have been Talmid Chachamim, who surely would have done tshuva. That is the Svarno. Now this Svarno needs explanation. Hold the questions. It's all one thing, and you're going to disturb the train of thought of me, let alone everybody else. Okay. I'll take questions afterwards. So the Svarno says, it's not that Noah didn't try. It's not that he wasn't concerned. He just wasn't successful. He wasn't able to rebuke the people in the proper way that they did tshuva. He told them what they were doing was socially wrong and perverted. But he didn't teach them to know God and walk in his ways. So first let's define the terms. What does it mean, l'adas es Hashem v'laleches bedrachov? To know God and walk in his ways. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Deos that knowing God means to emulate his character traits. Derech Eretz. Midos Tovos. Good character traits. You have to know God, the halachta bidrachov, and walk in his ways. So, l'adas es Hashem, to know God, and to walk in his ways, means Avram Avinu taught the people Midos Tovos. And Noah did not. And had he taught them Midos Tovos, had he taught them Derech Eretz, they surely would have done tshuva. Now we have to understand why. What does that mean? The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Im ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah. There's no Derech Eretz, there's no Torah. It also says, Im ein Torah, ein Derech Eretz. If there's no Torah, there's no Derech Eretz, which sounds like a catch-22 situation. If you don't have Derech Eretz, you can't have Torah. But you don't have Torah, you can't have Derech Eretz. Where do you start? We'll discuss that in a little while. But let's start with the first part. Im ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah. There's no Derech Eretz, there's no Torah. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah. A person should not think that he will learn Torah and then work on his character. Ki lo yishkon ha-Torah la'olam b'misha ein bo midos tovos. The Torah can never reside. That's the way we will translate it, that the way everybody translates it. Lo yishkon ha-Torah la'olam. The Torah can never reside by someone who does not have good character traits. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah. There's only one problem with that. It doesn't seem to be true. Because, unfortunately, there are people who do not have good character traits and yet learn Torah and even know Torah. Maybe even know a lot of Torah. And the answer that's usually given is, imagine what they would be like without Torah. But that's not a good answer according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, because the Rabbeinu Yonah says categorically that someone who does not have good character traits can't have Torah. It won't reside by that person. And yet we see it does. So in order to understand this Rabbeinu Yonah and to see the connection between Torah and Derech Eretz, that if you don't have Derech Eretz, if you don't have the basic character traits, good character, you can never have Torah. I want to start with the following. The Reb Simcha Zissel from Kelem, the Alter from Kelem, said the following. He said that Charles Darwin only formulated the theory of evolution, that human beings evolved from apes, because he never saw a real human being. So he assumed that the pseudo-human being that he saw around him could come from apes. Had he ever seen a real human being like my Rebbe of Yisrael Salanter, he never would have formulated that theory. It's impossible to believe that a real human being like my Rebbe of Yisrael Salanter came from an ape. Now, that's a very cute word, but is it authentic? What did Reb Simcha Zissel think? That Darwin was some kind of caveman who swung from the trees eating bananas, and the people that he came in contact with were bums who wore loincloths and guzzled beer all day? That was not Darwin or his circle of friends. Charles Darwin was a very refined person, and his circle of friends were very refined intellectual people. How could Reb Simcha Zissel say that Charles Darwin never saw a real human being? Weren't these real human beings? They seem to be very refined and respectable human beings. The answer, I think, is the following. The following story is said about three Gedolei Yisrael in three different periods of history. It was said first about the Rambam, then about the Maral, and then about Rabbi Yonasan Apshitz, which has me believe that it never happened to anybody. But it's a nice story, and it doesn't make a difference if it happened or not. It's a marshal. So I saw it written about the Rambam, so I'll mention about the Rambam. But it's the same exact story was said about the Maral and Rabbi Yonasan Apshitz. The Rambam had a argument with a philosopher. The philosopher maintained that you could teach an animal and train it to go against its instincts. And the Rambam said it's impossible. You cannot change the instincts of an animal. What it is what it is. So the philosopher said, give me 10 cats and I will prove to you that I can change the instincts of these animals. So philosopher took 10 cats. A few months later, he calls the Rambam. I want you to come to a banquet, and I'm going to prove to you that I've trained these cats to go against their instincts. Change the instincts of the cats. Nope. They come to the banquet. The Rambam comes with a little box, and the philosopher comes with a little box. They both put their box on the table, and the philosopher takes out of his little box a bell. He rings the bell, and immediately out of the kitchen come 10 cats dressed as waiters and waitresses with a towel around one arm and a tray balanced perfectly in the other arm, and they serve the entree. The philosopher turns to the Rambam and he says, you see that I've trained these cats to totally go against their instincts. They walk on two legs, perfectly balanced like a human being, not on four, and they serve as if they're human beings. They even curtsied, went back to the kitchen. The Rambam says, looks good, but it's a long meal. Let's see what happens. He rings the bell again. They come and serve the main course. Finally, it comes time for dessert. Right before dessert, the philosopher takes his bell out, and the Rambam takes his little box, opens it up, and puts it on the floor. The cats come out of the kitchen, and in moments, there is bedlam in the hall. The trays and dishes are being thrown all over, and the cats are down on all fours, chasing the mice that the Rambam let loose. And the Rambam turns to the philosopher and he says, you can train a cat to think it's a waiter all you want, but let the first mouse go by, and the cat instinctively remembers it's a cat and not a waiter. You can't change the instincts of an animal. The Maharal says a behemoth is bohma. Whatever it is, it is. What you see is what you get. Shor ben yomo nikra shor. An ox, when it's born, is an ox. When it dies, it's an ox. It never changes. Adam, in gematria, is ma. What? Because you always have to ask what and where he is, because he always changes. Human beings can change their instincts and control them, whereas animals can be trained temporarily to go against their instincts, but you can't change. They never can be in control. An animal's instincts will always overpower it, and it will always follow its instincts. And that, they say, is one of the meanings of what it says in Koheles, U'mosar ha'odem in ha'behema ayin. The benefit of human beings over animals is ayin. A human being can say no. Animals can't say no. They see something that they want to eat, they don't make any cheshbonos. Maybe I should wait till later to eat it. Maybe I'll get a stomach ache. Maybe I'll be fleshik. All the cheshbonos that human beings make before they eat something, right, animals don't make. It looks good. It's appetizing. They desire it. They eat it. They can't say no. But a human being can say no. That is one of the fundamental differences between a human being and an animal. And therefore, that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah said. The Rabbeinu Yonah said, "Lo yishkon haTorah liolam, b'misha ein bo midos tovos." Not like I translated before. Not like everybody learns it simply. The Torah can never reside by somebody who doesn't have midos tovos. The Torah can't forever reside by somebody who doesn't have midos tovos. It can reside temporarily, up until the first mouse goes by. And mice come in all sizes and shapes for all different kinds of people. In last week's Sedra, Rav Naiman in Darche Musar says the following. Ephraim offered Avram Avinu Ma'oras HaMachpelah and the field in front of it for free, a present. And in the end, he ended up overcharging and cheating Avram Avinu to give him that Ma'oras HaMachpelah. What happened? What happened from this magnanimous Ephraim to this Ephraim the cheat? He said very simply, Ephraim really wanted to give Avram Avinu Ma'oras HaMachpelah for free. But Ephraim had one bad instinct. He was not a person who ever worked on his midos. So he didn't have midos tovos. So he had a bad character trait, or a non-character trait, of being totally enwrapped in money. So the mouse for Ephraim was a shekel. That was the shape that mouse, up until the point that a shekel passed by, Ephraim could be magnanimous. But as soon as Avram Avinu mentioned money, Ephraim got down on all four and started chasing the mouse. He couldn't control himself. That is the difference between a human being and an animal, and therefore there are human beings who basically function like animals. They can be very respectable, and they can be very well-trained, like a trained cat, but they're not in control. They never worked on their midos to control them. And therefore, they're basically no different in kind than an animal. They're just much more refined, much more developed animal. That's evolution. There's no difference in kind between the ape and a human being, except human beings are more refined, more intelligent. It's just a matter of degree. It's not a matter of kind. And therefore, said Reb Simcha Zissel, Darwin never saw a real human being. A real human being is somebody who in kind is different than an animal. He's not just well-trained, well-mannered, well-behaved. He's in total control, which is something that an animal can never be. Had he seen a real human being like my Rebbe, Rebbe Yisrael Salanter, who was in total control, there was no mouse in the world that could bring him down on all fours, then he would never have formulated such a theory. But he saw very refined, very respectable people, but they never were in control. They weren't different in kind. They were only different in degree. You can train a cat to be a waiter too. So you can train a human being to be very refined and respectable. But if he's not in total control, let the first mouse go by, he'll also be down on all fours. That is what Reb Simcha Zissel meant. Darwin's group of friends were respectable, they were refined, but they weren't in control of their midos. And therefore, it was possible to assume that these well-refined, respectable human beings, who are much greater than the animal, but just in degree, but not in kind, could have come from animals. But Reb Simcha Zissel, who is in total control, that's something an animal can't do. Now, midos tovos have two sources. By Noach, it says, Tomim hoya bedorosav, and the Gemara says, Noach was a tzaddik b'maisav, he was a tzaddik in his deeds, the Tomim bedrachav, and he was perfect in his ways. Drachim, we said, is v'halachta bedrachav, is midos. So Noach was a tzaddik in what he did. He didn't steal, he wasn't immoral, and he also had a perfect character traits. But what the Torah qualifies, what kind of perfection of character Noach had. Es ho Elokim hisalech Noach. Noach walked with God. Elokim is God in nature. Noach's character traits were perfect according to one level of character. And that is character in nature. Es ho Elokim, to walk with God of nature, that was the source of his character traits. Whereas Avraham Avinu had a different level of character traits. By Avraham it says, Hisaleich lefonai ve'heyeh tamim. You walk before me, and you'll be perfect in a character. So says the Sfarno. Walk before me, emulate, see my character, emulate it, and you will reach the greatest perfection a human being can reach, emulating God's character. And the name of God used before that is Ani Kel Shakai. I am Shakai, not Elohim. Elohim is God in nature. Shakai, the Ramban says, is God who can change nature, who can make miracles, who can transform nature into something else. Sha'omar li'olam odai. God sets the parameters for the world, and he can change them. Avraham Avinu had one set of character traits, whereas Noah had a different set. What are the two different sets? One source of character traits is social acceptance. What's socially acceptable? How people can get along with each other. Don't murder, don't steal, be nice to people, open the door for somebody. Whatever good character is, that enables people to live together socially. If you don't have that, there's no derech eretz. There's no way to create a functioning society. A functioning society is created by people knowing how to live together and act properly one with the other. That is the kind of character that's described by Noah. Es ho Elokim, he walked with God in nature. That was the way that he developed his character, through nature, through society, what is socially acceptable and what destroys society. However, there's a higher level of midos, and that's called the halachta bedrach of emulating God's character. Seeing how God acts and acting in a godly way because you emulate God's character. What's the difference between them? One difference is the following. If midos tovos, derech eretz, is founded on social interaction, then it only applies if you're interacting with somebody else. You only have to have good character if you are together with other people. But what if you're locked in your house with the shades closed and nobody else is around? Do you have to act with good character? No, it doesn't affect anybody else. Good character is important, how it affects others. If it affects no one, then there's no reason why you have to have good character. You can act like an animal in your house as long as you don't affect anybody else. Live and let live. As long as you don't step on anybody else's toes, do what you want. But if you are emulating God and the source of good character is that a human being has to be God-like and he has to develop his character to be what a human being can be, a God-like human being, a Tzelem Elokim, then it doesn't make a difference if anybody is affected, if anybody sees behind closed doors where nobody sees, you have to act like a mensch because you have to emulate and be a godly person, whether it affects other people or doesn't affect other people. Another difference is the first level of character traits is basically like an animal, well-trained. A person who's well-trained to act and behave properly. It's an idea of behavior, but it's not an idea of total control. If you try and learn from God and emulate God, then you can change nature. You're not just going with your nature and training it to be perfect. You are changing your nature. You're going from the name of God of Shakai, Sha'omar li'olam odai, God who can change nature. And you can change your nature, totally control your instincts and change them, and no mouse in the world can bring you down on all fours. So there's two levels. There's the basic level of midos tovos, and then there's the higher level. The basic level you can even have socially. You don't need Torah for that necessarily. You need derech eretz before you can have Torah. Without that basic level of derech eretz, you can never have Torah. But without the higher level of Torah, you can't have derech eretz. The higher level of derech eretz is only through Torah, of recognizing God. How do you know God? You know God by Torah. So when it says in ein derech eretz ein Torah, it means if there's no basic derech eretz, it can never be Torah. But if there's no Torah, you can never have the higher level of derech eretz. In any case, Noach, like we said, taught people what was socially wrong with what they were doing and why what they're doing was perverted. He didn't teach them to know God and walk in his ways. He didn't teach them the derech eretz of emulating God, which means being in total control. He trained them like you train an animal. Don't steal. It's wrong. It hurts other people. It's not socially accepted. It's perverted. Don't be immoral. And he gave them mussar, and it may have helped, just like training a cat helps temporarily. But lo yishkol natora la'olam, if you don't control your midos, if you're not in total control, then it won't last forever. And therefore, eventually, the people went back to do what they were doing. You know what it's like? On the other hand, let me tell you first Avram, then we'll compare it. Avram Avinu, on the other hand, taught people to know God and walk in his ways. He taught them to emulate God in their midos, and therefore to be in total control. And therefore he was successful. The difference is the following. If you have a infection, and because of that you're coughing, sneezing, and you have fever, you go to the doctor. The doctor says, let's see what we have over here. Cough, he gives you a cough suppressant. Sneezing, gives you a decongestant. Fever, he gives you aspirin. Takes down your fever. Within an hour, no more sneezing, no more coughing, no more fever. Are you cured? No. All he did was cure the symptoms. He addressed the symptoms. But you still have the infection. So what's going to happen? In about 3-4 hours, when the medication wears off, you're back coughing, sneezing, and have fever again. You go to another doctor, and he examines you. He says, oh, you have this infection. So I'm going to have to give you 10 days of antibiotics. And after the antibiotics, right, the infection's going to be cleared up. It's going to take a little bit longer. It'd be much more expensive. But when the 10 days are up, you won't be sneezing anymore or have fever or be coughing. Why? Because he cured the disease. He didn't cure the symptoms. Noach worked on the symptoms. He taught them midos on the lower level. What's socially acceptable, what is perverted, and he told them, stop doing what you're doing. So he trained them like a cat to stop doing what they were doing, but he didn't put them into total control where they perfected their midos to be like God, and therefore he didn't cure the disease, he only worked on the symptoms. And since they still had the bad midos, they were like trained animals. The first mouse went by and they were back on all fours. Avraham Avinu taught them to know God and walk in his ways. He taught them to control themselves, to change their midos, to change their instincts, to be in control. And therefore, there's no mice were able to bring them back. They were successful. He was successful in influencing them. That's why. Why was Avraham Avinu chosen to be the progenitor of the nation that would give the Torah? Not because he was the biggest tzaddik or the biggest lamdan. Torah says why? Ki yadati, because I know him intimately. Leman asher yitzave es bonav ubnei beiso achrav, he will command his household after him, lishmor derech Hashem, to observe the way of God, lasos doko mishpat, to do righteousness and justice. Meaning, the Rambam says, he will teach them midos tovos, but the higher level of midos, where they will be able to emulate God and be in control. It's only if you have those midos that you can accept the Torah. Because lo yishko na Torah la'olam, the misha ein bo midos tovos. The Torah can't reside forever, only temporarily. God's not giving the Torah temporarily. He wants it to be something that's eternal. So he gave it to the Jewish people because we were taught by our forefathers to be able to work on our midos and have those midos that are emulations of God and where we can be in total control. We have the potential, at least. Whereas the nations of the world didn't have that. And that's why they didn't get the Torah. When God offered the Torah to the nations of the world, they said, what's in it? So God said to Esau, it says you can't murder. So they said, we have a problem. We have a bracha from Yitzchak, this coming week, Sedra. Al charbe chotichya, we live by the sword. How can we have a Torah that says you can't murder? We live by murder. Went to Yishmael, they said, what does it say in the Torah? It says you can't steal. Steal? We have a bracha from a malach. Yodo bakol v'yad kolbo, our hands in everybody's pocket, their hands in our pocket. How can we have a Torah that says you can't steal? Left them. Came to Klal Yisrael, we said Nasa v'Nishma. We got the Torah. It always bothered me. The Goyim didn't say no. They said they had a problem. Why didn't God explain to him the problem doesn't exist? You think there's a problem between living by the sword and murder? It's no problem. Living by the sword does not mean you have a license to murder people. It means that you will be mercenaries, soldiers of fortune. And in wartime, you will be hired to fight other people's battles. So you'll live by the sword. You'll make your parnasa by being hired swords. That's time of war. That's not murder. That's okay. If Yishmael, Yodah Bakol V'Yadkol Bo, does not mean that they have a right to pickpocket. What it means is, the Targum says, the Arabs need the entire world for their basic necessities. They have nothing. But the whole world will need them. Up until recently, we didn't understand that. But now we understand. They need the whole world for their basic necessities, and we need them for oil. So that's all it means. So God should have explained to them what it really means. There's no problem. Now do you want the Torah or not? They didn't reject it. They just said they have a problem. Explain to them why the problem is not a problem. I think an answer can be that a nation that thinks that they have a license to murder or to steal have no midos tovos. They don't have any good character. So they can't accept the Torah. There's nothing, the Torah won't last by them. If you think that it's okay to steal, you don't have the basic midos of even what's socially acceptable. So the Torah can't exist by you. So there's nothing to talk about. From this past week's Sedra, one of the Rabbeinu Nisim says that Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer to his family as opposed to the Knanim, because even though his family were Avdei Avodah Zarah, they were idol worshippers, but their problem was deos, was ideology, false ideas, but they basically were good character people. They didn't have bad midos. But the Knanim had bad character. And he says bad character can be transmitted from one generation to the next. But bad ideas, you can retrain somebody, teach them different ideas. It's not transmitted from one generation to the next. That's the Ran. The obvious question on this Ran is, who's he talking about? Lavan who Arami? The cheat? The liar? Lavan was a person with good midos? Lavan was a cheat and a liar. He was a scoundrel. So what are we talking about here? Lavan didn't have bad midos. Only the Knanim did. Lavan was he was not a bit of a Zora, but he was impeccable character. He was a character, but not impeccable character. So what's the Ran mean? What I think he means is the following. Just like there's a level where you work on your midos and you're in total control, that's called good midos. A person who never worked on his midos, one way or the other, doesn't have bad midos. He just doesn't have any midos. He's basically an animal who follows his instincts. Sometimes he can be trained and do what's good, and if the mouse goes by, he's finished. But he doesn't have bad midos. But if you work on your midos the negative way, and you really are in control, and you're really a rotten person, and you're doing it not because you don't have control, because you are in control, and you're in control to be rotten, that passes on from generation to generation. Lavan was not a person with bad midos. He's just a person that had no midos. He just did whatever came naturally. And he lived amongst cheats, so he cheated. It says, in fact, the Kliokar says, whenever it says Lavan or Arami, it says Mipadan Aram. To tell me the reason he was a Rami is because he lived amongst other ones. He just copied what everybody else did. But he wasn't a bad person that he's in control. The Knanim were different. The Knanim were not just people who did what came naturally. They did beyond what came naturally. I'll give you two examples. The Knanim, when their parents got old and were unproductive and a bother because they were bothering their lifestyle, and they had to feed them and keep them around the house, and they didn't do anything productive, and they were just waiting for the Yerusha. Right? Reminds me, son told me a joke. He said the little girl was watching her grandfather and he was dremeling, was falling asleep and waking up, and one eye was always open. And the granddaughter said to her grandfather, Zadie, why don't you close both eyes? He says, what difference does it make to you? He says, well, Mommy said when you close both eyes, we're going to get a lot of money. So that's what they were, the Knanim, that's what they were waiting for. So you know what they used to do to their parents when they got old? They didn't put them on a raft and send them, that was nothing. They fed them to their dogs. So this way they benefited from the parents that the dogs had a meal, and they were finished with them. Now you have to really work on your midos to feed your parents to the dogs. It doesn't just come naturally. It's not just that you're not in control and you do what comes naturally. That is something that is you have to really work on. Or what they did to their children. In order to ensure themselves hatzlacha, they used to sacrifice some of their children to Molech. Now you think that means that they slit their throats and then burnt their bodies on the altar of Molech. No. That's tame. You know what they used to do? They used to take little babies or children, grown children, and the priest of the Molech would stand on one side of a fire, and the father would stand on the other side of the fire, and they would pass the child slowly over the fire and roast him alive, slowly. You can't do that if you didn't really work on your midos to really be in control for the negative. If you just do what comes naturally, that does not come naturally. So the Canaanim had bad midos, which could be transmitted from one generation to the next. Avram's family didn't have bad midos. They didn't have any midos. They basically were animals who could be well trained and be respectable until the first mouse went by. Therefore, is it any wonder that Pirkei Avos revolves around two topics, Derech Eretz and Torah? Because you can have Derech Eretz on the regular level, what's expected of everyone, without Torah. And you can't have Torah without that Derech Eretz. But you'll never have the higher level of Derech Eretz if you don't have Torah with it. And you'll never have Torah if you don't have that higher level of Derech Eretz either. You won't have the Torah permanently. You'll have it temporarily. So therefore, Pirkei Avos teaches me, if you want to be a chassid, if you want to have that higher level of being like God, that's chassidus, to emulate God, to be a nice person, do everything right, don't steal, don't be immoral, be socially acceptable. You can do that without Torah. But you'll never have the Torah unless you have that. And if you don't have the Torah, you'll never be able to have the higher level where you're in total control. And then the Torah will remain with you. So therefore, and that only comes from having the kind of midos that you need to understand God. That's Moshe Kibbel Torah Misina. Moshe got to know God through the Torah, and he passed that on to us. And we can know God. And why did Moshe get the Torah? Because he was an Anav, like Har Sinai. He was humble. And therefore, all of it fits together. The Mesorah is there that the Torah should be able to teach us to be like God, to know God. That's Torah that comes from the Mesorah, that comes from God himself. And therefore the way to know God is through the Torah. If you know God and you emulate his ways, then the Torah can be something that will be eternal by you. If you don't even have the simple level of Derech Eretz, you'll never have Torah. So Torah and Derech Eretz go together completely. You can't have one without the other. Both supplement and complement the other. The simple level of Derech Eretz leads to Torah. Then you have the higher level, and then the Torah will be permanent and not temporary. And all of that is only if you know God. And therefore the Torah is a Mesorah from God. And that's the way to get to know God. So that is what Pirkei Avos is all about. That is the essence and the content of Pirkei Avos. And Amir Hashem, when I come back in 2 weeks, we will begin Pirkei Avos with the Abarbanel.